say I, and then 7 is an argument. Huey is late. Today he doesn't get himself a dinner. But if we get up and meet our future best friends.
Are you reading off blocks for a lot of this stuff? Because, like, flowing, like, a lot of analytics really fast might be.
Analytics than you think there are going to be, but they're all typed out.
Fine.
So I will give them to you after if you need them or whatever.
Okay.
And I need to do something about this situation. Did engineers have this debate? You were about to stand up and not do that's really fun. Okay, at one, I need to be at least. After the cross-examination of the 1AC, just about the only link that they have is that we don't explicitly talk about gender in the 1AC. I think that that's probably the only link in this argument that they can win. He says that the premise of the case is that we integrate humans into the global economy, but that's not the premise at all. The premise is that we should expose the world to human resistance to the global economy, and he says that research is necessarily key, but that's defined in Western science. That he doesn't explain why our research that we're talking about is premised in traditional Western science. As he said, hold them to the standard that they have to have evidence that necessarily says that they full development research would have to be conducted through Western scientific models. All evidence all indicates that the sustainable development rejects such models. And now I'm going to observation 2 debate. He says that we're based on Western research and science. So I'm answering that on the observation 1 debate. Earth's done to produce evidence of such sustainable agriculture. Let's shut down the advantage. He says that we fall into the fallacy of the problem and solution, but we don't plan it to quit, that we solve quickly, like wham bam. Like he says, the cross-examination, we claim that it's a transition, that it's a process, and that we want to make that transition as little difficult as possible. We do not give a time frame for that transition. We never claim to even know exactly what the world will look like post the plan. We just argue that we need to engage in this process of the transition now. The MAI debate's first argument is non-unique. Their link evidence is that MAI won't pass because of the Iran Libya Sanctions Act 2, which means that the EU won't agree to pass the MAI until you lift sanctions on Iran. He says the second argument is that if we win, that TI is not illusory. We'll argue that the plan will inevitably solve the impact. They don't have a time frame to their disadvantage either. He says the third argument is that the discourse is key. We'll argue that this is a contradiction because it assumes a policy-making mentality. His arguments to preemptive are very good, and they want to see it first by contradicting the negative. He justifies both arguments they run because it makes them shift their attitude to making them moving targets with the diligent because it forces the burden to contradict themselves by answering this as a voting issue because the negative sets up fantasy. A burden can never be, and the critique he justifies the policy disadvantage because it says that these types of policy measures here are false and hold up a hierarchical system and should be avoided. The disadvantage should be rejected, and this also proves that there is no alternative to the critique because it will always be usurped by a disadvantage like this, by some policy framework. That the critique should be rejected, and would argue that it's unfair for the affirmative because they're put into a double bind by dispositional positions becoming a concept for the affirmative and should be rejected. That's a reason to reject the negative, the critique. On the top, it's the link debate. First, the link assumes that we speak to exclude women. That's not what we do. I'll read cards below that disprove that. Second argument is that it assumes that our advantage and the plan is founded in economics. I'm answering that on the case debate. Third argument is that the link assumes that we say that the U.S. knows more. That's his rhetoric in the 1C, but that's not true. We argue that Cuba knows more. We need to learn from them. Fourth argument is that their evidence assumes that we problematize the other. We don't. We problematize the self, the status quo. United States, our problem. Cuba's got it right. We're accepting them and problem. What's happening with us. The fifth argument is that the second implication card says that after we deconstruct, we have to rebuild. That justifies the time frame permutation. The sixth argument is the time frame permutation. We'll use the critique, and then after we deconstruct, we'll have to rebuild the process. And the next argument is that human sustainable agriculture approaches nature holistically, including web and transmission, local transmission, ecological approaches to agriculture because they encourage looking for whole fish about the narrow economical municipal government, encourage the development of the municipal gardens, as if it is a continuous year-round question, diverse range of vegetable classes, food, and regular requirements, problems to be a self-sufficient. Possible food pressure against the uncertainties of the weather to see centralized approach to every life the counterweight to the burden of the world market, but they turning a savings war and take the top priority. Also, profit is the doomed evidence of optimism. One sense of sustainable agriculture only bring us closer to nature. Next argument is the ecological framework exposes women's various roles in social ecology. According to Olaf, when in 1993, Nelson suggests that women's many places are especially contemplated, so we must inform the right that women are many places to be able to keep a monolithic category such as women and ecology. Also, explain very successful women that never go by without strength and without additive proposals. The next argument is that dominant feminist theory, radical, etc., redefines oppression and hierarchy through otherwise being according to Gruen. In 1993, these theories are exclusively accepted in the great Indian category of others against the anthropocentric feminist, other non-human animalization for black feminist, others culture of man and animal liberation, others human emotion, collective individuals, the dualism to offer the continuing conceptualization of hierarchies and with the theoretically privileged group of the way of thinking is superior by itself and superior to the groundwork of the late for oppression of the inferior practice. And the next argument is that the case of accountability to day one, the debate is only about advocacy. Our advocacy is that we need to go through the transition, which will inevitably bring us closer to nature and recognize everyone's interconnectedness. We'll argue that's the next argument in turn. The negative is arguing that there are our favorites and flaws because we interest patriarchy by enacting the policy. However, the negative is the ballot as a way to project the affirmative framework created by the system of discipline by describing such similar mechanisms as means of action and no blame the position endorsed the resistance to dominant liberal philosophy. But so does the affirmative has just no unique reason to vote against us and no impact of purpose of the to educate us. You're too late. Caroline are extremely agitated about feminism. The next argument is normalize the relationship between the end U.S. foster politics according to Lenin. The next day, three better to you long U.S. embargo about being enough to defeat the attraction of women's attention and race to the successful women who are consumers of violence and their families to make the brothers be rocking from the economic disease. That's just an antiquated and helpful insight that comes to long for the bill and the embargo are a fanatic idea that was about what is required to end foster politics. Cuba is not a danger to the U.S. anymore. The people, however, that would be an asset to the economic body to pursue such a normalization of relationship, democracy, and reconciliation, equality, dignity, and mutual respect. And I'm not going to read that one, Helen. Next is wrong form engaging in complex philosophical objections is not compatible with the modernist configuration of debate. First, the little eighth point is that we're forced into time limits for discussing complex issues, and the little bit is that the one thing initiates debate speed, which sets the pace of debate. Where now let's talk about the chance to fully engage the discourse of the fact that we talk to less if we really have a true understanding of the conversation and the affirmative is imperative to the critique. Without us getting up and reading the plan, the discourse could not have been initiated. This proves that there must be something for us to resist against if we're to resist at all. And there's no impact. The affirmative doesn't stop the deconstructive process. Policies are implemented discretion as well, but does not stop, and no link kicker would never agree that we should not implement this policy. She is a political activist who works within the government system in order to resist us. We are consistent with her and with her analysis as well as the other authors. And the next argument is her politics is the medium through which transgression and critique can take place. According to Conway in 1991, the paradox of the human animal can simply believe that the social forms of common language and institutional studies that are traditionally political forms are enunciating public purposes that are indispensable to acquisition of identity to become an outlet to essential to life that every form of social completion enables the alternative subjugations and cruelties within its policy standards, the medium through which these ambiguities can be engaged in the first shift and stretch of the simultaneously medium through which common purposes are crystallized and consummate means by which the transcription of mutual harmonies is disclosed to necessary to serve an unsettled society that enables policies to exist. Ambiguous medium is a good society that enables the paradox to diversify expression in the public life and Cuba alongside the anti-capitalist sustainable agriculture model according to Levin's essay 3 years as a general forward left towards shifting Cuban politics that attributed to the development of ecological bacteria really out of agriculture where as most socialist countries have adopted rightist solutions such as private marketing of produce and other personal economic incentives and managerial pension credits of workers rather relies on extroverting of economic and command acceptance of the national chauvinism that's as well as our environmental social all made progress. Cuba has in many ways gone against the recent terms and its child capitalism ways of doing things instead of giving new market prices involve new forms of organizing and resisting that endless and collecting social motivation to which people empower themselves and gain their own expertise to try to change human relations place politics now economies in command and cross-fire argues evidence that they'll resist foreign investment and autonomy and separation in real international relations need to be reevaluated. Interdependence is a better model to maintain their next and trying to support sovereign and neutral towards questions, exclusive our way of thinking that the serious argument is such that sovereign protection of communities must warrant that human nature's desire for independence and potential international relations thinking is to prioritize high policy issues within the international dominance are against the race and activism. The international society consider culture to behavior traditionally associated with the feminine and community for interdependence is one part of human behavior allows us to see community building not as an aberration but as another dimension of international behavior. And fiat should not be illusory. The little A is that the work shows the resolution pain is to be firm to take some action which forces them to fiat something.
What was that last answer?
The word should the resolution mandate to the affirmative take some action which forces us to fiat something. The fiat three.
Really? Like climate actually have something?
No.
Okay, so I mean, like why does that mean that we should question the underlying assumptions of your authors?
What?
Why does that mean that we should question the underlying assumptions of your authors? It doesn't. Okay, cool.
No.
Okay, so your argument is that we can learn from Cuba, right? That this isn't a policy, like, attempting to solve a problem within Cuba.
Right.
Okay, your Ross of Peter Cunningham evidence says one key element of such support is to pressure strenuously for lifting the U.S. trade embargo that's causing such suffering among the Cuban people.
Mm-hmm.
So you're attempting to solve problems of devastation and starvation.
Okay, okay, no. Warranty does not say devastation and starvation. Our COB evidence initially says that the transition is difficult because of the sanctions.
Right.
Our argument is that that is suffering.
That's the transition to...
Yeah, that's what Rosette is talking about. He's talking about how important sustainable agriculture is to Cuba, about how important it is for the world, and...
Okay, so simply by going in and offering, like, our research or what we've learned,
that
can resolve the problem?
Here's the deal. We're not offering anything to them, okay? We're learning from them. But, the transition is difficult because of sanctions, because I guess there are some things that they can't get, certain types of appropriate technologies that they can't receive in the status quo, that they probably would be able to receive after lifting the sanctions. But our evidence also preempts your argument about investment, because it says that the Cuban people and the Cuban government will reject that sort of investment.
All right, that's the evidence, right?
Yes. Pretty good.
Okay, it says, well, where does it say that they'll necessarily resist investment post the plan?
It says their sustainable practices are here to stay. Fossil fuels and other things like that were available in the future, that they would continue with their sustainable...
Indeed, sooner or later, all countries may have to make such a transition to our environmentally stable economy, right?
They know that that's inevitable.
The short term, right, still open up the economy, right, and allow for United States investment.
I'll argue that you have to have evidence that says that Cuba will accept large-scale investment that would automatically lead to a liberalization of their economy, overthrow the Castro regime, and make them a capitalist democracy.
Your evidence is probably what may happen in the future, right? But you look the plan on face, you look economic sanctions.
I don't think, our argument is not that you look up the plan on face. Our argument is that our advocacy is our performance in the 1AC. And then you have to look at that all together.
Okay, the performance in the 1AC, right? Where in the 1AC do you begin with the question agenda?
We don't, and I'm saying that that's probably, if you're going to win a link to this argument, the only kind of link you could win.
Okay, where's the evidence that says that you shouldn't begin the agenda?
What?
And where's the evidence? No.
Okay. Number 13 is Helen and Sarah are educated feminist scholars like
people. We are, dude.
That's my number 14. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's my number 14 too. I'm like,
might not bode well for somebody.
Sorry, I might have been a little bit.
It's like you're dropping one back.
I'm surprised Validus goes well for you.
Next argument,
your person is advocating that he doesn't
sound
for
you. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm
doing
a number, I guess, with 14, where you guys are educated.
It's harder with 13, though. I think
women are educated.
It's Ron's number 12, so you're good on him.
Yeah, he's
there.
I only got one, so I guess it's
a good one. Some arguments dropped
already. Ryan's already excluded a couple arguments.
So, are we going to go with numbers? Because maybe we should be concerned.
I will try to be very careful and let you know what argument I am on.
Yeah,
right.
Please.
See, I have that as my 13, so should I, like...
Well, it's 14 on mine, though.
No,
I mean,
just make,
I mean,
look,
it's
name
it's
the 14. Argument. This is going to break down
into
complete 13 chaos.
I'm going to end.
Okay.
And she will pick up.
Okay.
Can I just ask quickly how many total arguments everybody has?
I have 24.
I have 24.
I have 20.
You have 20?
You got my partner saying the virus.
Look, name the argument, okay?
The
argument. Otherwise,
cool.
This will...
Virus is the cool one. Conceptually numbered.
Yeah. Before you speak...
Is it Maxwell did that to us?
Oh, I'm sorry.
We had like 20 arguments on an argument, and he was like, well, I numbered a little differently. I numbered two differently.
That was very
good. Like, the way to get to this debate.
Is everyone ready now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I ready?
Yeah.
On the topic of conceit debate, you can just see that the conceit, the constructive engagement, link, and at that point in time you know that there's status. You send your written letter before this affirmative proposal to Cuba, it's promised on dominance of the dominant evidence of extending all that. Are epistemological six questions asked, ignore, while continuing the privilege masculinized, use hides the biases of esteem in 1998. Modern epistemologies affect the kinds of questions asking, particular modes of inquiry, and consider legitimate the perspective of the socially constructed masculine experience is epistemologically validated and imposed on women, thus presenting male privilege and social practices and structures that enable men to consider their own experience as the human experience. That is the assertion that epistemological and ontological separation is granted the status of the objective truth. Epistemologically, those who define and exclude ontological experiences by explicitly ignoring gender will ultimately explain a distinction in masculine of knowledge, and epistemologies are able to master their own biases at the point in time. You know that they can see the constructive engagement link, you know that they do link to the critique, but moving on, versions of the identity don't exclude gender. My first is that you need to look at plan to see that they specifically do not include gender in any of the discourse in the plan. Secondly, they don't include the marginalized discourse or the marginalized voices, because the presentation is what she said that you specifically need to include. Also, she says that they're not like economic liberalism. However, my first is extend to economic liberalism, that they specifically, that they open up Cuba through to free trade by limiting sanctions, also press supply, that they don't know specifically what they're going to do post-plan at that point in time. I know that there's definitely a link to the economic liberalism. Also, they're based on the dominant precedence, because you keep in mind that they're coming in and they're saying that Cuba is better. And also, as you said, the number three, the Tickner evidence, which specifically says that by not conceptualizing and allowing for the dominance to replace the other dominance through the economic liberalism, that you never can escape the masculine and the dominant paradigm. And also, extending off of that, the socialist... Oh, sorry, I'm just preempting. They will argue that there are socialist revisions to liberal economics. However, social revisions still leave gender power structures in place, particularly in 1992. Since inference in the family is institutional, as much as the resistance in social states as the capitalist states, problems and powerlessness and violence from the women encountering the families remain, the liberalization of women will only come about when women are equal to men, both in the public and the private sphere, as a condition that would not necessarily attain in the post-capitalist world. Keep in mind, by getting rid of the sanctions or specifically allowing for capitalism to increase in Cuba, that doesn't necessarily exist at that level. At that point in time, you know that the women are being subjugated, and that gives you a distinct link to the critique. Moving on, next she says that they argue that Cuba knows better, and therefore that they're not the few. So we're talking about how the few are still using the model of where the United States needs to get there. Keep in mind, in order to get their implication of globalization and moving around and helping the world, that the United States needs to come in and help develop with Cuba, that Cuba can't do that on its own. I think at that point in time, you know, you have a clear link to the link. Also, next, she says that they prioritize that they do that. Cuba is good and that the U.S. is bad, and that we're looking at ourselves by looking at the U.S. However, they're not looking at the level of the individual that I think Tickner talks about, that you need to look at the marginalized and subjugated groups. At that point in time, you know that they're not looking at the level of the individual, and they can never get to the interconnectedness that Tickner specifically talks about by looking around and moving beyond the public world and looking at the privatized world. And also, she's still focusing on the states by using state actors. They said that they could defend the state, but I haven't heard them defend it yet. Next, she goes to the time frame claim. She gives you reasons why it justifies the time frame claim. Group the original five and the six. However, there's no explanation of why this justifies the time frame claim. She merely gives you a flip argument that says that we can reconstruct after our critiquing. However, the critique must occur before the plan. At the point that they do this, the perm is merely an afterthought. They haven't incorporated the critique into their discourse at that point in time. I think it's a reason to reject the perm. Also, you know that the critique is immediate and the impact is in the short term. And if you accept the implications to their discourse, you know that there will be implications imposed within the time frame. There's a reason to reject them. Also, it would be a shift because the impact, keep in mind, is a life impact, and that's the reason why they prefer to do the plan. So if you have, you know that you can't get to the implication of life, you extend the Tickner evidence, also extend the education and the advocacy advantage, and this would be allowed for a shift in advocacy at that point in time, and the reason enough to reject them. Also, if you extend the education, if you allow them to get away with an afterthought discourse, at that point in time, you know that education doesn't necessarily occur because it allows you to get away with the idea that it's okay just to think about the critique afterwards, and that's specifically what we're saying, that you need to reject at this point in time. That's a unique reason to reject them. Next, she says that the Cuba does this holistically. Well, that's nice that she thinks it does it, but that doesn't, first of all, that doesn't answer any of our critiques. Also, it doesn't incorporate the individualistic views. It doesn't move away from the private sphere. Also, it doesn't change the status quo by critiquing and starting the ticker. If you cross-apply the Tickner evidence, it says that you need to specifically start by critiquing and then you can move forward to work through the dominant paradigm. That doesn't answer it back at all. Next, she says that ecological exposes the women in many areas. However, this is incompetent within the critique. I think the critique answers the fact that, you know, you need to, like, critique the gender hierarchies within in order to get there. And since they don't start by the critiquing, they can't claim this. Also extend my original answer that says that they never did deal with the gender issues at that point in time, you know, there's reason enough to reject them. Natchez is the dominant sound theory. Otherwise, however, keep in mind that we're incorporating a multiplicity of views, and also that we're moving away at that point in time, that you know that the Tigner evidence says that we're moving to the multiplicity of views. You think that you prefer us, but also extending the Tigner recognizing the complicity of the feminist approach. Tigner, 1991, gender, I'm deeply aware that we're no one feminist approach, but many, that there are common themes in the different feminist literature and that review that could help us begin to reformulate the feminist epistemology of international relations. Feminist literature reviews here emphasizes the connection and consistency, Keller's dynamic, which should be part of the African worldview, and emergence of ecological thinking, all put in the direction of appreciation of the other, assumption of the views, the legitimate of our own, a way of things that sadly lacks in the history of international relations. Feminist thinkers generally like a dislike, dichotomization, and distancing the subject and the object because of the interaction with both of which they believe encourages, which we and they have. The attitude and characteristic of international relations is said feminist literature urges us to construct epistemologies and value ambiguity and difference. These qualities can stand us in a good set as we begin to build on the human ungendered theory of international relations contains elements both of masculine and feminine modes of thought. Additionally, gender lenses recognize the complexity of the issue while recovering underlying power structures as a theme in 1998 to look at the world through the gender lenses is to focus on the gender of a particular kind of power relation. Gender lenses that highlight the consequences of unequal social positions. The term lenses is, however, preferred to the lens because it recognizes the gender relations and complexity. It is necessary, therefore, to draw upon a variety of feminist perspectives to look at the better understanding of the complex whole. Well, and next, well, gender may not be at the core. Still, it has a place in international relations. This is Holiday in 1991. Assertion of the relation between the gender and international relations necessarily leads neither to the claim that gender issues constitute the core of international relations and the key to the understanding the international arena as a whole, nor does it lead to the argument that all aspects of women's vocation and experience may be derived from the international at the same time. Nothing can be done to show that whatever the distinctions prevail, issues pertaining to women do have a place in the study of international relations. Extending next, she says that the case is a counter critique, and you look at them in the intermediate. However, at the point in time that they can see the constructive engagement Lincoln, also you have the economic liberalism Lincoln. You also have the premise on the state centered. You know at that point in time that they can never counter critique. Also, you know there's no evidence of why they specifically look at the individual at that point in time. There's no evidence of the counter critique. It's an element answers above. I think that answers that. Next, she says term that the negative is using this is valid and is a mean of action. However, he extend our implications and specifically says it's a tool of education that we need to begin to critique. And I think that the debate format is a good format because we're talking about international relations, that we are educating people. Everybody in this round, after the round, will go and look at international feminist relations and see why it's the reason why we need to adopt it. At that point in time, I think it's validated. And also, I think that this is just a link to show that they are the dominance in the round because they're trying to show specifically why you shouldn't have the critique and why we should be allowed to look at it from that perspective. Next, she says that there's no link. However, yeah, right. There are several links. So you look at the constructive engagement link, and you also know the economic liberalism link, and then you also know at the point that they're not looking at the individual, incorporating the individual into the mind structure, at that point in time, you know that there are several links on case, and also the fact that they can see the status links. There are links.
Okay.
Do you want me to say anything else?
Where'd you stop then?
I stopped where I said I was going to stop. Okay. So, your Tigner evidence that says socialist revision still leaves gendered power structures in place. What socialist revisions is Tigner
talking about? I'm sorry, quite honestly, I'd have to look at the card again.
I'm going to see if I'm going to run more than
you. Okay. Okay, at the point that, I think you're specifically talking about that the socialist revisions that you're specifically talking about don't
I'm talking about the socialist revisions I'm talking about?
I think there's a connection there, yeah.
Because it's classified as socialist. Concept,
well, no. So. I mean, I'm just preempting you, using the socialism, but I think what this evidence specifically talks about is what I've been talking about all along. They don't incorporate the individual, because she's specifically talking here about
how
you don't look at the families and if you don't look at the individual woman,
So your answer to a lot of these arguments are we can't ever get there, or the...
Do you want
to... When I say we, I mean Helena, and I mean that's the plan.
Okay.
Your answer to a lot of our arguments are the plan can't get there, you tell the critic to look at the plan. You have all these arguments, all your implications to the critique are so laden with discursive implications that discourse is what matters. My question is the plan the only discourse that matters in this thing?
The discourse is everything that we're talking about right now. Discourse right now is important.
Okay. And if that's what matters, is whether or not the plan can solve what matters?
I think that whether or not the plan can solve is part of your discourse, because when you get up in the YAC, that's your discourse, right? That's our springboard
into the whole
discussion, which solvency is definitely an integral part.
Okay, but is the question, like, can the plan solve?
The reason why we're critiquing, let's get to the bottom of it, is because the assumption upon which your evidence is founded is flawed, and that we can't allow for such construction.
I understand it.
I think at that point you need to be able to defend your solvency.
Okay, so, and how do you conceptualize our solvency?
How do I conceptualize
it? Yeah, what do you think happens if the plan is passed?
Well, I mean, personally, obviously, like, I don't think you have any solvency.
What do you think our claim for solvency is?
What I think your claim for solvency is?
What do you think my advocacy is?
That you use a state-centric model to, like, use great economic liberalism, which will then, like, perpetuate the dominant paradigm as you supposedly, like, move without the globalization and extend the dominant paradigm to the rest of the world, thereby stifling life and ending life as we know it according to Tickner.
Okay. So you think that that's what my advocacy is?
I think that's what your solvency is.
Okay. And that's not the question. The question is what...
Actually, I need a moment. And then the critique starting from the next answer, which should mean that there's no impact, they're already educated. It should be no impact.
You're number 13. You're number 12.
MAI, she argues our discourse is contradictory. There is zero contradiction. Our advocacy, as outlined by the one entity, is very clear that this disadvantage is simply an example of the fallacy of the dominant paradigm of international relations. We don't advocate the disadvantage as per se, but it's simply an example of what happens when we fail to critique gender in the first place. Also, there's no shift in advocacy, nor is there necessarily a double blind. The reason is because the critique has the same implications on both the disadvantage and the critique evidence that we're reading. Remember, the MAI impact argues that the reason why the MAI is bad is because its premise on issues of economic liberalism is same arguments on the critique, which means I don't necessarily put her in her double bind. She argued the critique to justify the disadvantage. This is nonsensical. Remember, the disadvantage is not necessarily an independent reason to vote negative. It was simply an example of the critique. She says it proves there's no alternative to the critique, but that's not true. Remember, the critique is the first issue to consider. That's a Hajir evidence indicates that discourse is critical because it constructs our reality. And also, she says it's unfair because we put the affirming double bind. That's not true. I explained it above, and there's zero implication as to why this becomes a voting issue. Now, the critique proper. She says there's no impact, they're already educated. Well, hello, I think that's rather selfish. This route is not just about Sarah and Helen, but it's about Michael, Beth, Pam, Chet, Ryan, Lyron, and everyone else within this room. That's our Hajir Evans talks about. The discourse is crucial. Secondly, voting affirmative necessarily silences the discourse. Congratulations, they're educated, but that's not a reason to vote affirmative. A vote negative, however, encourages the type of argumentation. Third, education is an ongoing process. Look, I'll guarantee you that we will continue this debate and discussion outside of the round. Each and every one of us, you'll go out to this round and say, you know, this is an important issue that needs to be discussed. That also proves that there's a real world implication of the critique, and you prefer the critique interpretation first. It's a reason to vote negative. Next, she also argues that they end monster politics first, that's preempted in the first negative constructive. Our scheme evidence indicates that so called liberal policies only mask the problem by providing with an aura of truth. Two, it's a proof that top down solutions fail. They engage in a state centric analysis and solutions. There's never an answer to that. That shifts the responsibility from the individual to the state while ignoring the root cause of insecurity, i.e., gender. Third, it's caused by the scheme staff, and it's right in the 2NC at the top. That evidence indicates that our framework of international relations affects the questions asked, which proves that necessarily the planned action to try to solve for feminism would be co-opted by the dominant framework. Additionally, that state-centric approach only reifies the state as an object of study. This reductionist approach obscures complex policies and disguises the impact policies have on the individual. Seems to page 98, a vast amount of writing and international relations with state-centric. That seems that states exist as concrete entities, have agency, are the main actors in international relations. The notion that the state-centric actor gives rise to methodological individualism in the study of IR, that is, it is assumed that there are certain facts about the world that may be ascertained. These facts about the world can be explained in terms of facts about individuals or more probably personalized states as actors. This reduces complex international phenomena to a relation between reified sovereign states. That proves that the dominant paradigm means that we will never question gender. Also, that proves our science link because they attempt to problematize, they still work within the problem-solution framework, i.e., they argue that these complex things can be reduced to simple facts that we can solve. Next, they argue that the time arguments and the strong form is not compatible. This is an example of how they're silencing our discourse. And remember, Crossbow the Hajir Evans talks about that we need to take these issues up in debate, otherwise they go unquestioned and the dominant framework continues to occur. part also, she says that the affirmative is a point of discussion, but remember, cookie for you. Who cares? Remember, the thought or reason rejects the negative, and remember, that concedes that the thesis of the critique is true in the first place as a warrant to vote negative. She also argues that it forces them to speed, but she engaged that debate in the first place. It doesn't prove that we shouldn't engage in these philosophical inquiries in the first place. Remember, our first implication is that assumptions are the underlying foundations of all the arguments. If they can't defend their affirmative, then there's no reason about affirmative. Next, she argues there's no impact. There's no reason why we can stop deconstructing if we pass the plan. That's not true. Remember, the ticker evidence indicates the need to critique in the first place. Secondly, it concedes our first implication, which is that by critiquing in the first place, we undermine the entire foundation of the affirmative. No reason to vote affirmative.
90.
And she concedes the Hajir evidence to prove that we need to deconstruct in the first place to talk about these issues. Otherwise, that the dominant paradigm continues. And remember, our schemes evidence right above all proved by the dominant framework will necessarily ensure that we can never deconstruct if we vote affirmative. Next, she argues there's no link, but they agree with the ticker would agree with the affirmative. That's irrelevant. Ticker would also say that gender must be included first, which the plan doesn't inclusively do. Secondly, it's more they also concede our victimization link, which proves that they only problematize the issue and see women as a victim, but they fail to see that women and other minorities can be agents of change, which also proves another link. And she still concedes our evidence indicates the dominant paradigm definitely quashes these issues. Next, she argues permutation politics arguments, but remember, this is answered back by the schemes evidence. Remember, the dominant paradigm is silent. These liberal politics and these liberal policies only provide an aura of truth.
What?
Arguments that could provide an anti-capitalist model, but remember, as advocated by the wanting feed, look at all the rhetoric, and Nestle advocates that free trade and issues of ideas are necessarily crucial. Secondly, it's crossed by our social revisionism argument right in the 2NC that proves that women are still excluded from the economy. We don't recognize that reproduction is a crucial part of the economy. Next, she argues across by the Zoom evidence, but that's probabilistic at best. And I argue, look at the entire discourse of the economy, and she still concedes our evidence indicates the dominant paradigm ensures that dissonant voices are never heard. Because she can never get insolvency for the critique, and she argues that independence is a better model. But remember, that's our link, because this evidence talks about how we still focus on high politics. That's the dominant paradigm. The affirmative never deconstructs the high politics issues. It proves that the affirmative necessarily quashes the critique. Next, her last argument, fiat is illusory. This is simply a silly argument. She doesn't cross the domination. The plan is never passed. It proves that you look at discourse first. It has a real-world impact on each and every one of us in this crowd. We need to question gender. Otherwise, the dominant paradigm continues, and we never get the root causes of insecurity. It's a real-world impact, and it undermines all their foundations.